Good morning, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family. Once again, I'm really glad to meet with you like this. I'm so looking forward to where we're headed this morning as we're going to get into a passage, as I'll share in just a moment, that's meant a lot to me in my walk and in my journey with God. So as a means to get there, let me just start by saying this. I think it's probably not uncommon that all of us as just human beings have gone through at some point or another, like a really heavy or a really hard, maybe I could even say a really dark time or season of life. And maybe you're thinking, actually, that's right now, Pastor Ken. Don't you realize what's going on in the world? I mean, absolutely. And I'm going to touch on that too. That could be right now for a number of us. But I want to go back to a season a number of years ago in my life where I just felt like I was just in this place where it was heavy, it was dark, and I was not the man that, never mind that God wanted me to be. I could see myself kind of turning into this shell of myself and not even the man that I wanted to be, right? And it was just an incredible, tough, slugging season, if you will. I remember in that season thinking, like, what is the point? I mean, do I even really want to pursue this call, this pastoral call that I've felt and I've sensed in my life? It was challenging. And so I thought to myself in this kind of somewhat odd way, if you will, what if I only had 1 year of life left to live? What would I do in the midst of this dark season? 1 year. And carnal Ken, like, chimes in right away, right? He's like, just leave. Go to Hawaii. Take Janelle and the boys. Sit by the beach. You've got a year. I mean, that's carnal Ken coming out, right? Then redeemed Ken, that voice, if you will, speaks up. It's like, you know, if you did only have a year, people still need to hear about Jesus in Hawaii, right? So, but I quickly realized, okay, barring some tragic, unforeseen thing, okay, a year's not really what I was anticipating. Five. So I thought, what if I've got 5 years left? What would I do then? Well, carnal Ken gets going in my head and my voice, and that voice in your head, if you will. He's like, hey, people do need Jesus in Hawaii. You could go to Hawaii, for real, Ken. Like, you could go. You could just bum around Hawaii, leave it all, and just go. Like, it's okay. But then redeemed Ken comes in, right? You'd really miss Grandpa and Grandma. And the boys, they would miss Grandpa and Grandma. So you can only go if Grandpa and Grandma agree to come. Which I seriously thought about sharing with them, because I might have been able to twist their arms, you know. You never know. Yeah, they would love it. I know. Hawaii, yeah. Anyways. But then I quickly realized, okay, I know I've got more than five, all right. So let's go 10. Let's go like 10 plus years. What if I have 10 plus years? I actually was having this conversation in my brain. Like, I'm not making, this is a true story, okay? Redeemed Ken immediately comes in and just speaks up, takes over. And by redeemed Ken, I know I'm talking Holy Spirit, and we're going to get there, right? But redeemed Ken speaks, and he's just, you know, a legacy is never left if you leave when it's hard or if you quit when it's tough. And I've counseled people more times than I can count. Never run from something, only run to something. And what I mean by that is, don't run from the stuff that's hard, but if God's calling you to something, then it's time to go, right? If that's what God wants, if he's calling you to, you better listen, right? Don't run from, run to. And so I thought to myself in the midst of this conversation I was having within my being, right? All right, I got 10 plus years. I don't feel God calling me to something else. It's time to dig your heels in and just get through this, even if it's just one small step at a time, right? And then my mind immediately went to, but how? How in the world am I going to possibly get through what I was in the midst of? Because once again, I was like a shell of who I wanted to be, never mind what God wanted. And this for me was a significant moment because it moved me into this place where I began this journey of renewal, where I began this journey of realizing that I couldn't press through, I couldn't make it through whatever I was facing in and of my own strength. I had to have something more. But I had never been really taught about the more. I'd never been really mentored into the more. And so I found myself realizing that I needed what Jesus spoke of when he talked about the one who was coming, right? I needed the counselor, the guide. I needed a fresh experience and a fresh encounter, if you will, of Holy Spirit. I needed to experience renewal if I was going to get out of this dark, this tough place. And in that season, God brought two passages to me, and they both in unique ways came to life. Today, we're going to get to one of those two passages in Ephesians, and I'm really looking forward to sharing because this has been transformative for me. This has been critical to me in my journey of seeking renewal and wanting to press into more of what God wants for me as I strive to become and be the man that he wants and the man that I want to be. Now, before we get to the passage, I need to put this out there because this is really, really important, okay? Perhaps there's maybe even just one person who's watching this somewhere in the midst of the world wide web stumbling across this. Even if there's just one, we got to pause and make sure we're starting at the same place. Everything I'm talking about today, first and foremost, starts with a relationship with God. And you need to know this, okay? You were created for relationship with God. God, in fact, designed you to walk with him. The scriptures that we look through and we go through on a regular basis here, they start and they end with us, the people of God, walking with him. And it was never that God walked away from us. It was that we walked away from him. This happened in the midst of our sinful ways that we just turned from him. We gave way to the addictive tendency, the evil thoughts, just the wickedness that is deep within each of us, that carnal part of us that I've even mentioned already. And we walked from him. But God wanted so badly to fulfill our purpose, to fulfill what we were designed and created for, that Jesus came, that God took on flesh, that God walked this earth, Jesus walked this earth and showed what it would mean to live with God, to know God, to walk with him. And then in his a sinless, perfect being, he took our sin, our evil ways, our addictive tendency, our wicked thoughts upon himself and was crucified. He died in our place, shed his blood so that we could be forgiven. And when we come to the place where we recognize this to be true and we come to Jesus and say, look, Jesus, I am sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Now, Jesus, you gave your life for mine here. My life is yours. We move back into relationship with God. It is something that happens instantly with perfection, and yet is something we grow in throughout our life. And this is the beginning of everything else that I'm talking about today. And if you do not know God, if you are not in relationship with him, this is the start. This is the key to fulfilling who we've been created, designed to be. And like I said, it starts as simple as saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life, it's yours. If you pray that, you and me and us here, we're starting from the same place as we head into everything else today. Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, my life is yours. So establishing that's kind of the starting point, if you will. This brings us to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20 that we're going to get in today. And so I'm going to turn it over to Rosalind, and she is going to read for us, and then we're going to pick it up from there. So let's turn it over to Rosalind. Here we go.
So be very careful how you live. Do not live like people who aren't wise. Live like people who are wise. Make them most of every opportunity. The days are evil, so don't be foolish. Instead, fill yourself up with wine. Getting drunk will lead to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything. Give thanks to Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, Rosalind. We really appreciate you reading for your church family this morning. So let's break this down a little bit, okay? So be careful how you live. That word "so" is important. Let's just reflect a little bit on where we've been, okay? Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, we are in Christ. Okay, this is so important. We are in Christ. In fact, if we wanted to be a little bit broader in that definition, personally, corporately, we are united in Christ. Chapters 1 to 3 establish that. Then 4 to 6, we talk about being for Christ. Okay, we are for Christ. And so, what does that look like? Here's some of the things. Let the Spirit renew. I've already used that word. It's going to come out and be a part of our talk today too. Put on your new nature. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Imitate God. So live as people of the life. These are all parts of where we've come in chapters 4 and 5 so far. So these are the things that we are to embody if we are for Christ. Here's the thing, though. In the best of times, that can be a little tricky, can it? Because we are struggling with our carnal self. But man, in these days, let's be honest, y'all. I don't know about you, but the fuse is getting a little short. I'm preaching to myself all morning, okay? If you think I'm throwing stones, I'm telling you, I promise you this morning, I'm preaching to myself. The fuse is getting a little short, all right? But nonetheless, even in a season like this when the fuse is a little short, so be careful how you live. That's some good words for us today. Just as a reminder, that word "live" is not the first time we've come across this word in this passage or in this text. We came across that in 4 verse 1, 4 verse 17. And just as a reminder, we established that the word "live" in its original language is the word peripateo. Para mean about, pateo mean walk. There we are again with walking. So be careful how you walk. In fact, a number of the translations that are available, maybe some that you really enjoy, will even say it like that. Be careful how you walk. In all times, in all seasons, but even maybe even especially so in this one. In fact, as if Pastor Paul, you could say, is reading our mail, he says, "Don't live like fools." Ken and his short fuse. Bill and his short fuse. I'm not sure what Brother Al's short fuse looks like.
He doesn't have one.
But I know deep down that he gets fed up too. Hey? See? Yeah. So be careful how you walk. Don't live like fools. For the lions. This is a good word for us today. I could probably stop here and we could get something out of that. Even in the midst of this season, don't live like a fool. Be careful how you walk. Pastor Paul preaching, not me, okay? But be like those who are wise. He goes on, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Man, you've heard me say this before. Some would say that the scriptures are old school. I'm telling you, this is not old school. If you think this is old school, you're not reading this from the cultural understanding of its day. This is a countercultural book. It was countercultural in Paul's day. It was countercultural in Jesus' day. It was countercultural even within the Old Testament times. All right, it is countercultural. Cultural today. I mean, could we not say this today, 2,000 years later? Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. In fact, I just want to pause. This just work with me here. Next week and the week after, I'm going to really dig into this, this countercultural reality. And you need to know that this truly is a countercultural book. It is the living, breathing word of God, and it has things that have implications for today. It speaks to us for today, and it is all so powerful. And just once again, right here, make the most of every opportunity. This word opportunity fascinated me, so I looked this up, and I learned this in studying and preparing for this. This word opportunity might be better translated time, but it actually is literally the word kairos. Now, some of you in our fellowship are going to recognize the word kairos because there's this kairos course that our denomination is familiar with. And the literal meaning of the word of kairos is this: to urgent or to work urgently to redeem time. Man, we need some of that in this season. The people of God who would work urgently to redeem time. So be careful how you walk. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Live and work and walk, if you will, urgently to redeem the time. Oh, how we need this today. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I mean, we've already established some of that. What's that talking about? What does the Lord want us to do? Be renewed by the Spirit, putting on our new nature, not giving the devil a foothold, not bringing the sword of the Holy Spirit, imitating God, living as people life. We've established all these so's already so far. So how? We go right back to that question of how. How does this play out? We're in the midst of a dark season, of a tough season, of a hard season. How? How do we do that when our fuse is short? How? It gets good. 18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I mean, this verse has been so important to me. But I actually learned some things about this verse, even preparing for this, things I didn't yet realize. I've always thought, you know, some of the explanations around why Paul would use the imagery of not being drunk with wine a little bit odd. And this is really important. In this countercultural book, when we're reading it, it's important to understand that, like this, for example, is a letter. It's a letter written to the church of Ephesus. That's why it's called Ephesians. And so we have to understand how the original audience would have understood this, would have read this. What did this mean to them? And so I've always thought this is a little bit of an odd place in there, not being drunk with wine. But then what I learned studying for this one is that in these days, in these times, in the midst of the culture of Ephesus, there was actually a Greek god named Dionysus. I didn't know that. This was so cool. Dionysus, it's cool, but it's kind of twisted. You'll see what I mean. Dionysus was the god of wine. Now, what's really interesting about Ephesus is they have the Temple of Artemis there. We've talked about that. And it was a massive center of pagan worship, okay? It was a huge center of pagan worship. They would have been also familiar with this, this false god or this Greek god, Dionysus, the god of wine. And here's how you worship the god of Dionysus. You got drunk to the point where you thought or felt as though Dionysus was taking over and living through you, pursuing all sorts of sensual and earthly pleasures, if you will. Makes sense why Paul would use that, knowing that this was a practice within the area, within the culture of Ephesus. So don't be drunk with wine that will cause you to ruin your life, recognizing that this involves some false god. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It all ties together. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's hit pause. This is a little odd if we remember the whole context of Ephesians, right? Because we've already established that this is a letter written to the people of the church of Ephesus. And as you remember from the last time I spoke and from weeks past, right in chapter 1, we've already come to the understanding of this. Chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He, God, identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit. So this audience, the people already understood that they have the Holy Spirit. So fast forward to 5, why in the world, all of a sudden, when he's saying, now be filled, don't we have the Holy Spirit? I mean, we've already established God has identified us as his own by giving us, by marking us, by sealing us with Holy Spirit. And this happened when we believed. But there's something more. Now we realize not only are we marked, sealed, do we have Holy Spirit, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A literal understanding of this word filled is so, so, so important. It could literally be translated like this: be continuously filled. In the midst of that dark season, and God brings this text to me, this became so important because I had been taught and trained in a mindset or understanding that, well, once you believe, you have Holy Spirit, bing, bang, boom, all's done, all is settled. And there's an element of truth there, but it's missing the full truth. Not only do I have Holy Spirit, not am I marked, sealed with him, but I have this desperate need to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. I've said this before, I can't overcome flesh with more flesh. I need a power that is beyond me. I need the power of God. And it's not that the Holy Spirit has issues. Don't misunderstand. The Holy Spirit's got no issues. It's me who's got the issues. Carnal Ken. I'm leaky, if you will. The Holy Spirit never leaves me. The Holy Spirit never abandons, if you will. But oh, I have brought him sorrow. And I'm leaky. I need to ensure that I've gotten right. I need to ensure that I've given him full access and I've surrendered everything, if you will, that I might be filled fresh, that I might be continuously filled. I was missing that. And this has changed how I live day by day, how I pray day by day. For I know I cannot be the man I want to be. I cannot be the man God wants to be in my own strength. It has to come out of a Holy Spirit strength. You know, I'm going to, in just a moment, give a couple methods, if you will, that I use. But I don't want to be misunderstood. What I mean by that is this. You cannot use a formula to control Holy Spirit, all right? Like, I just want to be really clear. There's no formula. There's no thou shalt do this and that. That is not how Holy Spirit works, okay? In Acts, you see 15 or so fillings of the Holy Spirit, and it's so unique. Sometimes you see laying on of hands. Sometimes you see baptism. Sometimes you see preaching. Sometimes you see gathering. You see all kinds of things taking place. The thing about Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit moves, he moves as he wants, how he wants, when he wants, and we just got to be okay with that. So I'm not advocating for a formula in what I'm about to say. I'm just saying this has become important for me in my daily practice. An example. I've shared this story before, but it was pre-COVID when it was just here, and now these things are going all over the world. And so I just want to use this story for those who haven't heard it, okay? A number of years ago, I was in my early 20s, and I had not even established this as something that was significant for the believer. I had not even come to the place where I had a working theology or a working practice or a daily functioning of this. But I, nonetheless, in that season, was working in Central California, and I was working with inner city youth. And for some ridiculous reason, as I was working with the inner city youth, the organizers, the leaders, thought it would be great to put Ken, the tall and at that time skinny white kid from northern Canada, with the hardest, the roughest inner city kids in the groups we were working with. Week one goes by. I had, up until that moment, never quit anything. If I had put my mind to something, I would focus and work to a means to accomplishing said task, no matter what it was. I had never quit a thing. And after the first week, I remember sitting there with God. I picture it clear as day. I was on the side of the Pacific Ocean. It was late at night. There was a campfire going. I was off on my own. And I prayed a prayer something like this. I was like, God, I can't do it. It's not that I don't love these kids, God, but there's nothing in me that can relate or understand. I am useless to you here. God, I'm going to quit. I'll give you one more week, but if this doesn't shift, God, I'm going to quit because I cannot do this on my own. Boom, something broke. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know how to articulate it, but something shifted. I mean, even just saying it right now, I could feel it again in my depths of my soul. I could sense and feel in that moment the warmth and the fire of God just come and flood me in a way I had never experienced before. And I moved on from that place where, more than at any other time in my life, after that moment where I said to God, I can't do it on my own, I led more people to Jesus the rest of my time there than I ever have in the rest of my life. Hopefully that's going to change, by the way, in the days ahead for Fort Saskatchewan. But at that point and up till today, I've never led that many people to Jesus. And it had nothing to do with me because I had nothing to offer. Zero. But God, even with my inability to articulate what was gone, came upon me and I could feel the fire. Some might call it baptism of the Spirit. Some might call it filling of the Spirit. Some might call it a fresh filling of the Spirit. Quite frankly, I don't care what you call it. I'm not concerned about debating or winning that debate. I'm concerned with us understanding we can't do it on our own. I'm concerned with us understanding that apart from the fire and the fresh filling, this continual filling of the Holy Spirit, we'll never be able to make the most of every opportunity. At that dark moment I was speaking of a number of years ago, my whole prayer life shifted. I went into this place where I started to pray more and more along the lines of first confessing my sin and my brokenness. And it's so good that God is so faithful, isn't he? Because if we confess, you know, our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. But I would confess my brokenness and my inability to overcome flesh with more flesh, that I needed him. So I would confess these things. It was the first thing I started doing daily. Then I would surrender. One of my favorite passages in scriptures is Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about offering our bodies as living sacrifices. When I say, Jesus, I'm sorry, Jesus, forgive me, Jesus, my life is yours, this is the beginning of understanding that I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. I surrender. That passage goes on and says, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing, there's that word, of your mind. And I found myself surrendering. I would confess and I would just surrender myself, my heart, my soul, my mind, my entire being. I'd surrender to him. And then I would ask. I would ask for God to just fill me in a fresh way with whatever capacity of the Spirit's power and the fire that I needed for that day. You know, one of the passages that's been so misused is Jesus teaches about asking and it will be given to you. Probably familiar with that in the Gospels. I love Luke. Luke's the doctor, right? Luke doesn't leave out the important details because doctors don't leave out important details, right? And in that very passage where Jesus is talking about asking and it will be given to you, he concludes it like this. He says, for those who ask the Father for the Holy Spirit will be given. Jesus communicates so clearly that if we ask, it will be given. Confess, surrender, ask, and believe that God wants to give us more of himself. For there's always more of Jesus. There's always more of Holy Spirit. Thus, we are to be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. If we go back to that beginning of the text, right, where it says making the most of every opportunity, right? I think it gives us a really good perspective, a perspective that I don't want us to miss right now. Now, I've seen this little demo that I'm doing right now done a number of times. This is not original Ken material, but I think it lands really well today, okay? And so I just want you, if you will, to imagine that this string or rope, whatever you know, might call it, is representative or represents eternity. Now, I realize in our adult ways of thinking, we're immediately saying it can't represent eternity. That rope has a beginning and an end. Yes, I know, okay? But nonetheless, embrace your inner child with me, okay? Jesus says, you know, the child, those with childlike faith, okay, just work with me, okay? You tracking online too, okay? All right, this rope, if you will, it represents eternity, all right? It goes on and on and on and on in the illustration, although it doesn't, but you know what I'm saying. It goes on and on and on, all right? This rope is eternity. And if this rope were eternity, our lives, if you will, would maybe be represented by this little black piece of tape. Let's put this into perspective, okay? Eternity goes on forever and ever, but for us, our lives, this black piece of tape. And not only does this black piece of tape represent our lives, maybe this little tip here that I left off, that's COVID. Now, I don't want to belittle the weight or the heaviness or the darkness of the season, because I know in all of us there's shortened fuses and what have you. But we're called to walk with God. The text today asks us to be careful how we walk, not act like fools, to make the most of every opportunity. And when we have the proper perspective, it reminds us, it reminds me at least, that this matters, this life matters. I make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And Jesus longs to use his people, his redeemed people, to be for him, to be for Christ. He wants so desperately to use every single one of you. He desperately longs to use you. You're created for a time like this. None of this season has shocked or surprised him. So we're to work urgently to redeem the time God's given us. How? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or better translated, be continuously filled. And so this morning, I'm just going to ask that we close in prayer together and invite the Holy Spirit to come upon us, his people, the Fort Alliance people, the extended digital family people. He'd fill us in a fresh way, in a powerful way. Maybe for some of us, we need that oceanside experience where we feel the fire of God coming upon us for something greater. And so as we wrap up today, I want to invite us to open our hands like we're here to receive. Right here, right now, at home, wherever you're watching this, I dare you, if you got this plugged into your earplugs at the park walking along, to walk like this. And let's just ask God for what he promised to give, the Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me as we wrap up? Oh, Papa, Holy Papa in heaven, Jesus, we're sorry. We confess that we are sinners. Thank you that you have given your life and you do forgive. We admit we are broken. Fuses are short. The season is heavy. It's hard. It's dark. So many of us just feel like, enough. We admit we can't do it on our own. Not a one of us can overcome our carnal flesh with more flesh. And so, Papa, in this moment, we surrender our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. We say, here, our life is yours. Please take it and use each one of us wherever and however you need. And we know we can't do that in our own strength. So just as Jesus asked us to, we ask you, Father, for more of Holy Spirit. Will you pour that holy fire out upon us, your people, as we sit here today, as we sit at home, as we walk the park? Pour your Spirit out. We ask to be filled in a fresh way today, that we might be a people who urgently work to redeem the time for you, Christ. Renew us for your honor, for your glory, for the sake of your holy name. Amen.